Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. It's easy here in the middle of everywhere to feel overlooked by the rest of the nation. Historians, media outlets, the entertainment industry. The national gaze pivots from East Coast to West or to the storied South. Recent years, however, have heard a call to raise the profile of the impact and import of the Midwest. Today, we're going to talk with two scholars interested in a revival of Midwestern studies. John Lauck is chair of the Midwestern History Association. He's an author, a professor, a lawyer. He has written several books, including The Lost Region, Toward a Revival of Midwestern History. John Lauck, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks, Lori.
And John Miller is an author, historian, and professor. His book, Small Town Dreams, Stories of Midwestern Boys Who Shaped America, was released in 2014. John Miller, welcome as well to Dakota Midday.
Lori, glad to be with you.
So, John Lauck, I want to start with you and this panel discussion. You recently returned from the University of Kansas. Tell us a little bit about that gathering and what its goals were.
Well, thanks again, Lori, and congrats on the new show. You're doing a bang-up job. We are all enjoying your new work as the host of Dakota Midday, so keep it going.
I really enjoyed listening
to Bill Anderson there.
Thanks. Very kind of you.
Yes, the end of last week, John Miller and I lit out for the territories, as it were, and went down to Omaha for a quick conference and then on to the University of Kansas, where there was a very interesting panel that assembled several experts from around the region to talk about this question of why is the field of Midwestern studies so weak in comparison to other regions, and especially regions like the South and the West, where the historical studies of those regions are booming, and they have very active groups of people that support the study of those regions. And John Miller and I, in the last couple of years, have started this crusade to get people to pay more attention to the Midwest. And I think some heads are beginning to turn on this front. And I would submit a very good example of people's latent interest in the Midwest, even though they may not realize it, is the success of the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, Bill Anderson's book, John Miller's three books on the topic, The Pioneer Girl that was published by the State Historical Society last year. Those all indicate that there's a great deal of interest in the lives of people that that grew up in this region. And so I think if we reframe that whole Laura Ingalls Wilder phenomenon just a little bit, we can, I think, substantiate our claim that there is more interest in the Midwest out there than people realize.
So, John Miller, I want to bring you in a little bit here and talk about Laura a little more and what fascinates you about her, and how it's not just her as an individual, but her as a Midwestern voice.
Well, I'll tell you how I got onto it originally. I was a student of community and small towns, being a small town boy from the Midwest myself. And when I saw that bird's eye view of the Smet some 30 years ago, made in 1883, showing an artist's conception of what the town looked like, I thought, what a wonderful opportunity here to look into this, read the newspaper from the time, and write an article about it. And before I was done 20-some years later, I had three books about Laura Ingalls Wilder. So it was all about small towns. And it's a total coincidence. I had been emailing Bill Anderson, and here I heard this morning he was going to be on your show, and I said, wow, I'm going to be on her show too.
The connections are running rampant today.
Talk about serendipity. But actually, John is a little too modest. He's the guru. He's the instigator. He's the guy who thought it up, and he's the guy who got this Midwestern History Association going here. And in 2 months over in Grand Rapids, Michigan, we're going to have a second annual conference there on Midwestern history, and I'm going to do a paper on Laura Ingalls Wilder as a Midwestern pioneer girl. And I state there that I don't know anybody who has ever talked about her explicitly as a Midwesterner as opposed to a pioneer girl interested in the frontier. And this gets to the point that what is absolutely true, that she was a Midwesterner, lived there all her life and wrote about places in the Midwest, But everybody takes that for granted. They don't think about it. They don't bring it to their conscious attention. And that's what John and others are doing with this new organization, bringing it to people's conscious attention.
John Lauck, are we all a little too modest and don't just sort of brag ourselves up as much? Or what is the reason that the field of Midwestern Studies has weakened?
I think there's some truth to that. Unlike other regions, you know, the West is very glamorous and it has a tremendous landscape. And of course, the South has a very storied history. And of course, we all know about people from Texas and New York who are very boastful and proud of the places they call home. And Midwesterners aren't as likely to be like that. So I think as a result, there's less focus on our region. But I think we're starting to cause some people to rethink this a little bit. I was just looking at the Chicago Tribune this morning, and there's a story about a playwright who has decided that he's tired of all the plays that are set in New York and California, mm-hmm. and he's decided to set all his future plays in the Midwest. So I take that as a small victory for our cause.
What does a vibrant Midwestern Studies program look like?
Well, I think, as far as I'm concerned, we have very modest goals. Number one, we want to have an active association that brings people together, hopefully at least once a year, to talk about writing about the region. I also think we need to press upon the bigger universities in the Midwest to have at least one person that may teach one class once in a while about the Midwest. Places like the University of Minnesota, where there are 50 historians, not one person teaches about the Midwest. Now, I'm not saying that the University of Texas and UCLA have to have big programs in Midwestern studies. That's never going to happen. But at least the universities in this region, which draw their students from this region, should have some degree of consciousness of where they are set. And give the students that come to those universities some opportunity to learn a little bit more about their home.
Mm. John.
Along with that, of course, we need publishing outlets, places where we can write our articles and write our books. Excuse me, that will be picked up. And one of the things that John put together in his panel down in Lawrence on last Saturday morning was we had two different journals, one called the Midwestern Quarterly and one Kansas History, and a new journal that's just brand new by a young woman who is very bravely trying to organize something called the New Territory, which will be on the newsstand soon. And over the years, I published scholarly articles in three different scholarly journals with Midwestern focuses. And they're all gone now. So if you don't have places where you can publish these things and people who are encouraged to read them, you're kind of spinning your wheels.
John Lauck, we have about a minute left, and I'm wondering if you could talk briefly about this connection between scholars who have been in the field a long time and younger up-and-coming students or historians.
Well, I think if we can get some leadership from some of the older generation and help them guide some of the younger scholars, it'll be absolutely crucial to reviving the field. But I think there's a great deal of frustration among some of the older scholars, like John Miller mentioned, that they haven't had many opportunities over the years, and so they may have been frustrated and gone into other lines of study. But I think they're starting to turn around and revive their interest in the region and write more about the region since they see this energy out there. Mm-hmm. One of the speakers at our panel, a young historian at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, made the point, and this substantiates what John Miller was saying, that this is the moment. There are older scholars coming together, younger scholars, people starting new journals. This young woman, Tina Casagrand, who's launching her new magazine about the Midwest called The New Territory in the next few months, all these things are kind of happening right now. So we all are convinced that this is the moment for the revival. And I hope if with the support of you and some of your listeners and other public radio folks in the Midwest, I think we can spread the word, and in a couple of years we'll be very proud of what we've built.
Thank you so much, John Lauck, for joining us today. And John,
thanks, Lori. I really appreciate it.
And John Miller, thanks as well.
I appreciate it.
Going to editorialize and say this about both of you. Your books help define how we approach Dakota Midday, so we appreciate that. That's our show for today. We hope it served you. I'd like to thank our guests, John Lauck, John Miller, Betty Farrell, and Bill Anderson. We'll see you tomorrow on Dakota Midday. The Dakota Political Junkies take on the final days of the 2016 legislative session, and we talk baseball. Meet me at noon Central, 11 Mountain for SDPB Radio. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.